What a discovery. Tell me, how did it come about?
What a discovery indeed. Literally out of the blue, at least for most of us, just a matter of a few days ago, and it's just been burning up the internet. And of course, it's been reported on international media where we've got a series of codices of lead books, apparently, that bear some amazing inscriptions. We have letters, we have images that purport to depict the very earliest evidence we have of the Judeo-Christian movement, may be, at least it's claimed, to be almost as old as Jesus himself, as the first few years after the crucifixion, perhaps. Maybe they're evidence of the family of Jesus, known as the Ebionites, which was mentioned just last night on the show, as a matter of fact. This is just fascinating for so many of us, and I can tell you that I, of all people, very much want this to be genuine. I want this to be true. I wrote a book that was released just over a year ago called Bloodkin of Jesus, James and the Lost Jewish Church, where I basically say that the key is not looking at Paul, not looking west, not looking at the Roman church as it ultimately developed, but go east, young man, go east, go into Jordan if you want to find the actual family of Jesus who perpetuated his traditions in a very, very early period. And here we have documents that apparently have come out of Jordan. It's just remarkable. And they
were found, what, about 100 miles from where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found?
Yeah. And having written several books about the Dead Sea Scrolls, that is also particularly fascinating to me. The Book of Revelation talks about sealed books in several places, and the Dead Sea Scrolls. In fact, I'm just working on my own fresh translation of some of the fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and this I just recently produced. It's a fragmentary Dead Sea Scroll found in one of those caves. They're just like little jigsaw puzzle pieces, and here's how I translated into English that this is the interpretation regarding the eras or the ends that God has made, all that is and is to come. He determined their works and their eras and their dominions were engraved on everlasting tablets. Everlasting tablets. And sure enough, we have some sealed tablets that came right out of this region. I say it's all about location, location, location.
And these codices, Ken, they differ from the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were primarily text. These are more images, aren't they?
They're more images with some coded letters on them. And the letters are in Hebrew, but not the Hebrew that we're accustomed to in prayer books today and in Hebrew Bibles, the Hebrew used in Israel today. This is ancient, really ancient, Paleo-Hebrew, with sort of a Hasmonean flavor. The Hasmonean dynasty, which was in existence in the first few centuries before the Common Era, the first couple centuries before the Common Era. And I'm one of the minority of scholars who actually thinks that it was Hebrew, not Aramaic, that was the spoken language in the days of Jesus of Nazareth. The Dead Sea Scrolls are over 90% Hebrew. So for those who say, oh, Aramaic was the spoken language, what do you do about the Dead Sea Scrolls? What do you do about this preponderance of Hebrew? These are Hebrew letters. That alone is compelling.
Tell me the significance of this discovery, Ken.
Well, if they're genuine, then it's extremely significant because, as I write in my book, what we're lacking really is some kind of archaeological evidence of how the early followers of Jesus, the family of Jesus, his brothers, the Gospels themselves tell us that he had brothers, including James, the famous James who wrote our epistle. Jude is another one. His family kept alive his tradition in the East. This is a lost church that we know virtually nothing about. They stayed in Jerusalem right up until a tragic revolt broke out against the Roman Empire in the year 66 of the Common Era that left the city of Jerusalem literally a smoking ruin in 4 years, 70 of the Common Era, 70 AD. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. What about the early church, as it were, the family of Jesus? What became of them? The book of Acts tells us that they stayed in the city of Jerusalem. They set up their headquarters in Jerusalem. They would have been wiped out along with the rest of the city had they not decided literally to flee, to get out of Jerusalem in the nick of time. And I'm convinced that the book of Revelation in particular is also a code that tells the family of Jesus, hey, it's time to leave. You better go east. Go east, young man. Get out of here. Go over the Jordan River, Transjordan, east. And we even have ancient records that tell us that they settled in a city in Transjordan called Pella. But where's the archaeological evidence for this? We don't have anything but just traditions that they fled to the east. The book of Revelation is all over this in its coded language, talking about a dragon that spews water out of its mouth trying to swallow them up. And that seems to be representative of the Jordan River itself. And yet the earth opened up and swallowed that water that the dragon had spewed out, as if to say that they were able to ford the Jordan River. They were able to cross it safely before the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. That's key. They saved themselves and they saved their movement. There would arguably be no Christianity. It would have been wiped out had these followers of Jesus not made this escape into Jordan. So I've been looking for evidence of this and any textual evidence of their existence. These Ebionites, as they're often called, or the Nazarenes. There are several names from. Another one is the Desposeni in Greek, which means the heirs, the physical heirs of Jesus. They had their own dynasty, apparently descended from Jesus. So imagine how I, of all people, would be just thrilled if we could find archaeological evidence, even textual evidence, that these descendants, James and his descendants, succeeded and went on into Transjordan.
Ken, I have no doubt that a man existed a couple thousand years ago by the name of Jesus. And it's obvious that with the Dead Sea Scrolls and things that we're beginning to find, these codices, that there was a person like that. How do we know, how do we really know that this individual possessed these incredible abilities that we hear so much about?
A lot of it is faith, but we do have records, and that's the important thing. If you take the gospel accounts seriously, then you say, hey, we have written records. And one of the things that I've devoted decades doing, even though I'm a Judaic studies scholar, is studying the Christian Gospels. I believe that especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke root down to an early Hebrew text, and by the way, a lost text, a missing text that we don't have anymore, but was translated into Greek. So if we take our Greek Gospels and try to retranslate them back into Hebrew, we have a remarkable biography, as it were, of Jesus of Nazareth, and an early one as well. Jewish scholars, Israeli scholars, by the way, are fascinated with this idea of trying to find the historical Jesus. Whatever your faith perspective is about Jesus, we believe he's a historical person. Now, having said all that, these documents that have just been found are causing a huge amount of controversy, and you can expect that they will continue to cause controversy. And their authenticity, though I would love to believe them, let me tell you, is being called into question. And I have to say that as an objective scholar of the period, There are some serious problems that, as much as I'd like this to be true, we have to recognize.
If they're not true, if they're not authentic, then who would have created them, and when might they have been made?
Well, unfortunately, there is in the Middle East a whole industry of creating forgeries. And some items that I also would really like to believe were authentic, such as an ossuary. This is a burial box of none other than James. I just mentioned him,
right.
The purported brother of Jesus. Is seriously called into question, and the consensus is that it's a fake.
Is it for financial gain, Ken? Are they trying to discredit Christianity? What's going on?
People get great financial gain and notoriety out of circulating forgeries.